Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Let's just say this. Saturday was a big improvement over Friday's no-show. We'll be sure about that. But considering I figured going into the regular season that the Leafs and Red Wings were going to be neck and neck all season, with maybe one of them lucking into a playoff spot, and you know what? My guess is I'm not the only one out there who feels that way. I came away from this weekend feeling even more uncomfortable with what I've seen from the local flannel. But in particular, it was the way the Red Wings forwards and Nicholas Cronwell had such little difficulty taking the Leafs' best players, or at least the players the Leafs need to be their best, out of the games. The Leafs' best unit in both games was Santorelli, Komarov, and David Clarkson, which is nice, but where were the first two lines? And what the hell happened to Nazem Kadri? He was like 20% in the faceoff circle Saturday. Finally, Randy Carlyle screams uncle and brings Peter Holland in for some duty. Look, Henrik Zetterberg stepped up. Cronwell stepped up. For the Leafs, well, Phil Kessel spent Saturday trying to exact revenge for slashing his wrist, and I don't know what happened to Tyler Bozak. The Leafs continue to give up 30-plus shots a game, and their defensive intensity comes and goes. But my biggest concern after these two games, it's not the goaltending, it's not the defensive rotation, it's the disappearance of the Leafs' big players, their best players, on back-to-back rivalry games. The fact that on too many shifts, they were no-shows. Now, that's how I saw it through those two games. That was my takeaway. I want to know what yours was. I mean, if we assume that these two teams are fighting for a roughly similar fate, are fighting for roughly the same playoff spot, after this weekend, who would you give the edge to?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, let's get the show going. Glenn Healy, NHL analyst and Hockey Night in Canada, joins us as our regular Monday insider. And Glenn, before we get to the Leafs, I want to ask you about the Winnipeg Jets. After last night's loss in Rogers' hometown hockey, Greg Brady and Andrew Walker making the point in the morning show that maybe we ought to start lumping the Winnipeg Jets into the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. Are we there yet with them?
I think they got to get in line. Yeah, Buffalo and some other teams that are desperate to get him as well. Carolina probably pushing for that. It's part of the conversation for sure, particularly when you're dealing with the West, because you know, you look at them and you say, well, they're pushing to be better, they're drafting better. A lot of the players that they could trade, no one wants. I mean, you going to trade for Byfuglien? Really? Did you watch him last night? Mm-hmm. That's what you want?
Yep.
And so, okay, put all that together. They're a ways away. They really are. And, you know, I said this last night on the broadcast, there's three ways to improve your team. There's, you know, through the draft, and they're doing that effectively. There's through trades. Some of the players aren't really wanted by other clubs. Or free agency. And, you know, the fact is a lot of players don't want to go to Winnipeg if they have a plan B.
Right.
They tried to get Stastny. They offered him a big bunch of money, and Stastny said, no, I'm not going there. So it's tough for them, for sure, to improve their club. But they are on a slow incline. They watched Atlanta do the quick decline. They're on the slow incline getting up.
Glenn, I guess the big question then is, will fans I would ask you, fans in that city are going to have patience with the team. You would think they would. They've already lost the hockey team once, and I can't imagine that people in Winnipeg are going to stop going to the games. But I'm thinking outside the actual attendance, whether it's the public discourse or things like that, will fans be patient enough?
Oh, they will. And when they signed up for their season ticket base, when they first brought the team back, if you remember, they were not forced, but by their own choice, you had to sign up for like 5 and 10 year plans.
That's right.
And so they're not in this for I'm in for the month of October and then we'll see what November looks like. No, they're in for the long haul, and the market there when you look at when they left, back in the day, that was a market that wasn't in a lot of the financial sectors of Canada,
mm-hmm.
and now they are. Now they're into like a number of financial sectors. It's not just relying on oil, or not just relying on commerce, or not just relying on importing or some of the other markets that are.
Right.
They're a pretty good economy and a pretty good market that has a really rabid fan base. So they're in good shape. They just need to find a way to make this kind of, and ownership's on board with this. Like, so when we get impatient and we say, okay, it's time to blow it up, they don't care. They have a game plan and they're following it. Whether we like it or not, that's another thing. But they are following their game plan from ownership.
Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. All right, let's shift focus to the local team. Saturday, a better game.
Great
than Friday.
Game. That was a great game.
It really was. But Glenn, maybe it's because Friday's game stuck out to me so much more just from a negative point of view. But should we be concerned at all that some of the Leafs, if you want to call them their big players or their, the guys, the top two lines, the guys you expect to carry the load a lot of the way, they just seem to be taken out of the game on Friday. And, yeah, there were signs on Saturday that they were kind of getting back into it. But at the end of the day, I think the Red Wings' best players still outplayed the Leafs' best players.
Oh, by far. And when you look at the game that Detroit played against Boston, and Babcock shows up at the rink, and Zetterberg's sitting in his office in the morning waiting for him to tell him, okay, I'm going to be way better. I have to be way better. I mean, I made an excuse before we played Boston and said that we looked tired. Tired for what? We didn't practice hard. We had days off. It's that mental drive that you say, okay, no matter what I feel kind of in my gut, that's not what it is, and I've got to drive through it mentally, and he did, and he had a game on Friday that was spectacular with 4 points, and then got the game winner on Saturday. So he delivered, their big guys delivered, and they put him on a line with Nyquist, which is important. Nyquist is a star in the making, and was playing with a guy by the name of Darren Helm, who's a checker in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So put the stars together, and they performed. And the Leafs, quite frankly, didn't. Friday night was and I tried to be really, really good with the scoring chances. I had 5.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's really 4.
Mm-hmm.
Could I make it 6?
Mm-hmm.
It was a dud, and it's at home, and you've got to have some compete in you, and you've got to understand, it's your fan base. The difference between you and Florida, Florida's had one playoff round in 9 years, so have you. The difference is your fans care.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only difference. You could have 3,000 at your game if you really wanted, except your fans care. So if you're going to stink anywhere, stink on the road, not at home. It was a better game Saturday. They competed hard. It was a much more entertaining game. Bad for me, it took me about an hour to get across the border because of all the Leaf fans. But that being said, the result was the same. They just didn't recognize the score. They didn't recognize the clock, 10 seconds left. And they didn't recognize who was on the ice at probably the most fatal moment, which is the one that gave them the 1-0 loss.
Glenn, we kept hearing throughout training camp that one of the goals of the Leafs this year was to cut down the amount of shots on goal to be better in their own end. We've heard that for a while, but I think with this, with Peter Horacek in particular and this staff, there was an idea that there would be some sort of a measurable statistical improvement in that. They're still giving up 30-plus shots a game. Are you seeing them do anything better defensively this year than they did last year?
I think the quality of scoring chances are down.
Mm-hmm.
The number of shots are probably about the same. I think a lot of that has to do with puck possession, how much you have the puck, on your stick. The other team can't get shots if you've got the puck. it's kind of the same cast of characters, so you don't expect a dramatic increase or decrease in some of these statistical data. But I think defensively they're playing better in their own end. When you kind of look at the songbook that they've sang through the first bunch of games, when the big line scores, what happens? They win.
Mm-hmm.
When the big line disappears, like this weekend, they lose. So they have to get some balance in their scoring, and they have to have their big guys like Zetterberg and Nyquist did for Detroit show up and make an impact. They didn't this weekend, and as a result, didn't get the points that they needed, you know, because that's a team. You know, when you look at the teams that are in the East, you got to think that Tampa Bay's in. You got to think that, you know, probably Boston's in. You got to think that Montreal Canadiens are in. The New York Rangers are probably in. And then there's a whole group, and there's a bunch that are out, too.
Mm-hmm.
You look in the East, you can, you know, Buffalo's not making it. Carolina's not making it. There's a bunch that are out. So there are about five teams competing for a couple spots. And you are one of those teams. And guess who else is one of those teams? Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit openly admits it. I mean, Kenny Holland said that to me on the weekend. We're one of those teams. We're on the bubble. So we've got to be better than the teams that are in that group of four or five that are competing for those last couple spots. And this weekend, check mark goes to Detroit.
The one good thing, I guess, we saw out of this weekend from the Leafs was the penalty kill. They've killed 15 in a row. Flip side, of course, the power play's over 12. But let's deal with the positive first. We're seeing, obviously, Leo Komarov, Daniel Winnick, Roman Polak, who is logging an awful lot of ice time, the penalty kill. But JVR has also contributed a little bit as well, which, you know, we made the point with Andrew Walker and Brady before the start of my show. We were talking about the Leafs' top line, and you referred to it as well. Maybe even their second line. If they're not scoring, there's not a lot they can accomplish. It's just the way they're wired. But I look at JVR, and I think of all the guys on those top two lines, he's the guy that might have something to offer beyond just goal scoring.
Yeah, and you look at this weekend, the battles with Cronwall and Erickson with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who truly competed.
Yes, he did.
There was kind of epic battles that had, you know, moments where you could have called four penalties in one battle. Referees didn't. Okay, I like that. That's good. So, but he has the elements that make him good for doing some of these things. Like you talk about his PK involvement, his big long reach, big long stick, can cover lanes, is a smart player, and he can skate. And those are all elements that you need. And Winnick is the same way. Big guy, big long stick, covers a lot of the lanes. You know, Polak competes, plays pretty hard. So there are some elements of their game that they added that have shown some pretty good improvement since the Pittsburgh game when they gave up a boatload of power play goals. And, you know, that happens against Pittsburgh a lot. Happened this weekend for Pittsburgh. So that is a positive in their game, and a positive that they knew they had to improve, and that's why they went out and got some of the players that they got in the offseason. That's why those players they got in the offseason are playing way more minutes at the most critical times, because they knew they had a real deficiency in that element of their game.
Glenn, we've seen the Colorado Avalanche. They went through Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. They're back home now. Semyon Varlamov is apparently expected to be back this week. I wanted to ask you about this team because, you know, Patrick Roy is a big personality, and I think they're a team that attracts a lot of attention. Plus, they were an intriguing team last year. I look at this team right now, and, boy, I wonder if they're not poised to take a real step back this year.
Well, last year, if you watched closely how their team won hockey games, it was with stellar goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was all world, was in the conversation for Vezina. I mean, that's top three in the league, top three in the world, and he delivered. And you know, they had top six that could go out and light you up. And those top six, they committed some atrocities in their own end. But they were okay with it because they had that goaltender who said, okay, I got this one, it's okay. That's not the case this year. They're not getting that level of goaltending, and as a result, they're not, you know, getting the results on the board. They're an exciting team to watch in both ends of the ice, and that's the best way to put that club. You know, they're great when they've got the puck, and they don't have it. it's great to watch, too, because you're going to watch either a great save or a goal.
Glenn, it was good of you to do this morning. Thanks so much, as always.
It's going to be a tough week for the Leafs this week. Ooh. We have the Islanders
and Bruins.
And you're going to head into Ottawa, and that's always a battle. So this is a real telltale, kind of a litmus test for Toronto to see what they're made of.
We'll be able to talk about it next week. Take care, Glenn.
Great, Jeff. Bye.
That's Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada. Glenn Healy's absolutely right. A big week ahead for the Leafs. A tough week. The Islanders, the improved Islanders, the Ottawa Senators. I think we can safely say we're surprised at how well the Ottawa Senators have played. And then, of course, next Saturday, Hockey Night in Canada, the Boston Bruins come into town. Would have been nice to squeeze out a win out of these two games against the Detroit Red Wings. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. I'm taking a look on Twitter. You can join the conversation. Use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. I think a lot of people are on the same wavelength with the Wings and the Leafs. And Glenn Healy made the point. The Wings and the Leafs are kind of, they're in that group of teams in the East. Right? They're in that group of four or five teams, all of whom are quite capable of making the playoffs, all of whom are quite capable of missing the playoffs. And for me, in a lot of ways, the Red Wings are kind of a measuring stick for the Leafs, or they're one of the measuring sticks we're going to use this year. And as someone who didn't pick the Leafs to make the playoffs this year, but did so realizing that, as I said, four or five teams in the Leafs group have a shot at making the playoffs, I came away from this weekend feeling even more confident in my pick that they weren't going to make the playoffs. I just didn't see much out of that through two games out of their top six forwards. James Van Riemsdyk, as Glenn Healy pointed out, deserves credit for his work on Saturday. And he was a guy who stepped up. The rest of them? You know, and at some point you realize that hockey games, yeah, it's a team game, but it's also a compilation. It's also a collection of one-on-one battles. And the Leafs didn't win Friday. I don't know how many one-on-one battles they won Friday. I don't know if they won any on Friday. Saturday, they were better. But not good enough. And their top players didn't step up. That, to me, when you have back-to-back games, you need, yeah, it's great that your depth players play well. Everybody wants their depth players to play well. That's wonderful. That's spectacular. God bless them. You need your best players to step up in those situations. And the Leafs didn't get anything out of anybody other than JVR. Nazem Kadri was just an absolute no-show. He got dominated in the faceoff circle. Got absolutely crushed in the faceoff circle. And I think we do consider him to be one of the Leafs. He's certainly one of their top six forwards. We consider him to be one of their better players. So that's where I want to go today. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. I came out of this weekend thinking, you know what? Pretty comfortable saying the Leafs aren't going to make the playoffs because their best players, they pitched back-to-back no-shows. Dave in Scarborough, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I love your show, man.
Thank you, man.
I want to talk about the Leafs' fourth line.
Yep.
It's no secret that Randy Carlyle wanted Colton Orr and McLaren, right? Everybody knows that.
I don't know if he wanted both of them. I think he probably would have taken one of them.
Yeah, but is it possible Leafs management came and said to him, these are your guys, Orr and McLaren aren't making it, and that's why he's not playing the fourth line?
No, I think part of the reason he's not playing the fourth line, to be honest, is it's pretty hard to play the fourth line when you're losing.
Yeah, but they were only, dude, it was 0-0, though. You, I mean, give them a couple minutes anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe that, you know, we know this is a thing with Randy. This is something that he's always done. And, I mean, even when he had Colton and Orr, he wasn't playing them. He wasn't playing those guys when he had them. They got, what, two minutes a game?
Yeah, but they got a better fourth line this year than they did last year.
Yeah, but my point is, I don't think it really matters to Randy. And the other thing to remember is, you know, he's got a third line right now that's far and away his best line. And a third line that appears, you know, that appears to be hungry for ice time. And if you're Randy Carlyle and you're looking down that bench, yeah, it's, you know, in a perfect world, you do what Mike Babcock did. You do it what Michel Therrien's doing in Montreal, where you've got everybody having between 8 minutes and 15 minutes or 8 minutes and 16 minutes. But I think Randy doesn't coach that way. Randy looks at that third line. That's my best line. I'm going to put him out there.
Way he's coaching has been a failure.
Dave, I know that. That's why I don't think he should be.
It's early, but it's not. This has been going on since all last year and the year before.
Yeah, that's why I don't think he should be coaching the team. I mean, Dave's right. I got nothing for you there, Dave. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I don't think he should be coaching the team, but I didn't think he should be coaching the team at the end of last year. But he is. The fourth line thing, it doesn't bother me as much because of the way some of these games have been played. And I understand, I mean, I'm the guy that was saying a while ago that, you know, I thought that Kessel and Van Riemsdyk and to a certain degree Tyler Bozak hit the wall last year. A lot of guys hit the wall last year. You have to manage minutes better. But at the same time for Randy Carlyle, and Randy Carlyle, I think, is under no illusions. His job is on the line here. Hey, Darren Millard had a great line on Friday night during the broadcast. You had Mike Babcock, last year of his contract. Randy Carlyle, first year of an extension. Which of the two is a lame duck coach? Well, it's the guy with the multi-year contract. Randy Carlyle might be the lamest of lame duck coaches out there right now in the NHL. So he's got to win some games. That's what he's looking at doing. And I mean, this is part of the problem when you have management and coaches can talk about being on the same page. And they can pay lip service to the idea that they're on the same page. But Randy Carlyle's priority right now is winning games to keep his job. Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, David Nonis, because he's still involved in the process, I think their priority is figuring out what exactly they have here. The Leafs will never come out and tell you they're rebuilding, but I think this is, as I've said, this is a baseline year. They're trying to get a read. This new brain trust is trying to get a read on what they actually have here. What should we keep? What should we get rid of? Where can we improve? Where are we overachieving? Those two things aren't necessarily hand in hand. Kyle Dubas, Brendan Shanahan, they may want to get a read on their fourth line. Randy Carlyle wants to win the freaking hockey game. Because Randy Carlyle knows that if he gives his fourth line 5 minutes and they lose the game 3-0, he can't go in front of the media and go, well, hey, you know what? At least I gave the fourth line some minutes. That is an issue. That's an emerging issue. But I also think a lot of it is just philosophically gets to Randy's use of the line. He wouldn't use the fourth line anymore if he had Fraser, McLaren, and Colton Orr than he is right now. Joey in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Joey?
Hey, Jeff. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. This is a baseline year. I think a lot of their major moves will happen in the offseason when they see what they have. I had a problem with the hiring of Carlyle the second they hired him, and that's been reinforced more and more all the time. I think a big thing no one's talking about really is he sat Stuart Percy, and Stuart Percy was our best defenseman up until that game.
Mm-hmm.
You could have sat Pollock, you could have sat Robidaugh again.
You
could have sat Riley. You could have even sat Riley. Percy, he didn't have the best game, the game before he sat, but he was our best defenseman. And I don't think he needed to watch a game in the press box, but I'm just going to skip ahead and say, you know, I'm a diehard Leafs fan. I mean, nobody dies as hard as me when it comes to this team, and I would love nothing more than another playoff run because we were really teased against Boston. But there's a big part of me that just wants them to go off the rails this year because I want change. I want a new coach. I want a major shakeup, not just tinkering. I don't think Kessel's the problem. I don't think JBR is the problem. I think they need a center, and I know that's not going to be easy to find, but
right.
I do think it may be time to look at just package Gardner and Kadri, and don't take whatever you can get, but use them as a baseline for a trade, because I just see these two guys as talent that I'm just not sure they're ever going to get it.
Yeah, Joey, I appreciate the call. One thing about Roman Pollock, and I don't know if you threw his name in there just as, you know, as a for example, but I he's way too valuable on the penalty kill for me to sit. And he's way too useful. And I agree with you. However, he is susceptible to some of the same inconsistencies we've seen in the part of the Leafs defense. But you know, that is what it is. They've got a 7-man rotation right now in defense. Somebody's going to have to sit out. I'm with you, Stuart. Percy wouldn't be my choice, but you know, was it something that I looked at and thought, "Oh my God, what a horrible decision"? No, I could actually see why the decision was made at the time it was. Ideally, I think you would like to retain Jake Gardiner. I would have no problem with Nazem Kadri being moved. I don't know how much value you're going to get from him right now. But even saying that, I'm not certain I'm in a hurry to see Nazem Kadri moved. I think what this team needs to do goes beyond Nazem Kadri and Jake Gardiner. And I still like Jake Gardner's game. I think with Jake Gardiner right now, it's almost like there's a phony war. We all know, and the elephant in the room is that Jake Gardiner and Randy Carlyle can't coexist. Jake Gardner's got a big contract. Now, I believe that Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas and the numbers guys, I believe they like that contract. You know, Jake Gardiner is a guy, he's a favorite of the numbers community because of what he contributes to puck possession. And I have no problem with Jake Gardiner in this team. Nazem Kadri, you know, I admit I go back and forth on, like most Leafs fans. There's a reluctance, I think, to throw up your hands and say, well, this is, you know, we've gotten all we can get out of him, or things aren't going to improve here, so let's move him. But I'm not certain you get enough value in return for Nazem Kadri right now. And I know that probably sounds a little bit like I'm backpedaling a bit, but I don't mean it to sound that way. I don't know. Let's see what this team is about this year. I would like to give this group a full year. You know, ideally, in a perfect world, I would have had a new coach in here and I would have given this group a whole year. So I would have brought a new coach in. I would have said, okay, this is what we have. How is it going to work together? And then I would be keeping track of it. And if things weren't working out, then I'd make my move. I think in an ideal world, that's what you would have wanted from the Leafs this year. New coach, players, let's see how it works. What we have right now is old coach, same core group of players, a new set of eyes evaluating it. It would have been good, I think, to have that new coach in there as well. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. TML Forever on Twitter. Leafs problem is they don't have a Zetterberg-type player who just plain gets the job done. That's what the Leafs need. It's one of the things they do need. And that, to me, is the beauty of Henrik Zetterberg. He just does it. You know, when you go into, and I've made this point in this show before. When you go into the Red Wings dressing room after a game, and you look at some of the faces in that dressing room, you look at how grizzled some of those guys are, how the scars, just the toughness of a lot of guys in that dressing room. You really realize that it's a different unit. And Henrik Zetterberg in particular is a guy that there aren't a lot of guys like him. And it occurred to me Friday when I was in their dressing room and Zetterberg was talking, Glenn Denning was in there. and what you got, and Gustav Nyquist as well. A bunch of us had a chance to talk to him, and listening to his answers about the team's performance, you know, against Boston, and how just how there was a real sense of a lack of satisfaction in that room. The first word that came to my mind as I listened to this is, there's an awful lot of accountability in here, right? There's an awful lot of accountability. There's an awful lot of guys saying, it's early in the year. I get that. But there's an awful lot of guys saying, yeah, I wasn't that good. It wasn't, and the thing is, it wasn't just we weren't that good, blah, blah, blah. It was I wasn't that good. I didn't play well the night before. Zetterberg, I wasn't happy with my game. There's a real sense of accountability to that group, and I think that might explain why when you see situations like these back-to-back games, that may explain why Nicholas Cronwell steps up, or certainly why Henrik Zetterberg steps up. And then you see it with some of the younger guys like Luke Glendening, and even Nyquist to a certain point. And I'm not around the Leafs enough, and frankly, I don't know how many people are around the Leafs enough to know whether or not there really is that sense of accountability, because sometimes the team is easy to read. Even if you don't spend a lot of time in the clubhouse, the dressing room, the locker room, or whatever, a team is easy to read. You could have gone into those old Atlanta Braves teams that had all those great pitchers. I could pull somebody off the street, take them into the clubhouse with me, and even if that person wasn't a baseball fan, the person would have been able to look at the situation and go, yeah, there's some men in here. There's some stand-up guys in here. It's a professional environment. It's a bunch of good things happening here. And you get that sense in the Detroit dressing room. Toronto sometimes, I don't know. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We continue our discussion after seeing the Leafs play the Red Wings back-to-back games. We know that the Leafs and Red Wings are part of that group of teams that are going to be jockeying for a final playoff spot. After seeing these games back-to-back, are you like me? Do you think that the Leafs may be even a little farther behind than you may have originally thought? This is a Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I mean, there's some shows where they don't like you to sort of put together trade suggestions and all that. I have no problem with it. Like, nobody ever gets hurt doing it, right? The suggestion from the caller of putting together a Gardner and Kadri package got people talking on Twitter. Adam writes in on Twitter, either Bozak or Kadri has to go. No room for two small centers. Keep Bozak so Kessel happy. Package Kadri draft pick for East Stahl. The two small center idea. Yeah, I think there might be something to it. I'm not saying you have a bigger center who's measurably worse than the smaller center. And I've been very clear, I think, that although Tyler Bozak is, I don't think, anybody's definition of the perfect number one center, Bozak, Kessel, and Van Riemsdyk, that's an okay first line for me. That's better than an okay first line. It's a damn good first line. But Bozak and Kadri at times do seem to be a little too close. I mean, I wish Kadri had the brains that Bozak shows in the ice. But other than that, the skill set
seems to be roughly similar. So maybe there's something to that. Andrew and Hamilton, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Leafs got a tough week ahead. They've got the Islanders. They've got Ottawa. They've got the Bruins. They managed a point out of back-to-back games this weekend against the Detroit Red Wings. And my point was, I thought that after watching those two games, I came away even more convinced that this team doesn't measure up well compared to other teams that are going to be jockeying for that final playoff spot. How do you feel about it?
I feel the exact same way, Jeff. Great topic, and it's good to get this talk started early, put Leaf fans in realization like myself. But my issue is with everybody talking about the fourth line.
Mm-hmm.
So you're Randy Carlyle, and you send Fratton in panic and bowling out there, and within a minute, like 30 seconds, Fratton takes a penalty. All right? You give him another shot, another penalty. So I am don't play him. If you're gonna take them out there, I understand they got to get in the flow of the game, whatever. But you're gonna put them out there, and they're gonna take penalties. I don't want to see them on the ice as well. And it was an issue last year with McLaren's foot speed and Orgeron penalties, and that's why the fourth line can't get minutes. They gotta earn those minutes and not take penalties. And another point, just as far as I'm concerned, I am growing numb of hearing Carlisle every post-game conference saying we have to compete to a higher level. We have to compete to a higher level. We're not playing to a higher level. If I'm getting numb from it, I wonder if the players are. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on those.
Yeah, I think Randy needs to come up with a new phrase. He needs a new message. At compete levels, just one of those. Hey, every sport has them. Guys say it and you go, what the hell? Compete level. We're not trying hard enough. Okay. It's like you're trying to fancify a pretty basic characteristic you need to be an athlete. You make it sound important, compete level. We're not trying hard enough. Same thing. The fourth line, I agree with you. Just because Fraser, McLaren, and Colton Orr aren't here doesn't mean that this fourth line is 1,000 times better than the fourth line with Fraser, McLaren, and Colton Orr. But beyond that, I think we can now say that philosophically, Randy Carlyle doesn't necessarily like using the fourth line. He doesn't have faith in this group. And again, if you look at the way these games have been played during the year, so far, I don't know how often you'd use a fourth line. I'm not going to use a fourth line in a 0-0 game on the road. Maybe when I'm getting my ass handed to me 4-1, I might use it. But I'm with the caller. I don't think this group, this fourth line group, are better hockey players than Fraser, McLaren, and Colton Orr. I think just about anybody would be better hockey players than Fraser, McLaren, and Colton Orr. But that doesn't necessarily mean that even if they're better, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, the greatest fourth line ever, and that it's a fourth line that needs playing time. They haven't done anything to earn it. I know it's the chicken before the egg, right? Can't earn the ice time if you're not given a shot to get it. But as previous caller said, the one thing you, when you do get that shot with Randy Carlyle, you know you're only going to get it. Briefly, you've got to do something during that time. The one thing Randy Carlyle has been absolutely 100% consistent about since day one is he rewards guys who are playing well for him that night. You know, people will say, remember that the game where they let in a late goal, people are saying, well, what the hell is Stuart Percy doing in the ice? Well, Stuart Percy's on the ice because he was their best player in that game. And if you're the best player in the game, you're going to be out in the ice late in the game for Randy Carlyle. That's the way he's wired. And he's done that since he's been here. And frankly, a lot of coaches are like that. I mean, it's obvious if you're coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins that you're going to have Sidney Crosby out in the ice at the end of the game. You're going to have a Jenny Malkin out in the ice at the end of the game. But there are a lot of teams where it's not that obvious. So what does a coach do? Well, the coach puts the guys who have played the best that night out in the ice. Part of it's a reward. Part of it is just simply a reflection of the fact that this is an important part of the game. This group is the group that's done it for me all night. I'm going to put him out there. Now, it makes no sense to go, well, this is the most important part of the game. My first line has pretty much sucked all night, but I'm going to put him out because they're my first line. That's not how Randy Carlisle works. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Jeff?
Good, man.
You know what? As far as the tail between two teams is concerned, I have to give the edge to Detroit because, you know what, they have a lot of big game players. They've been to the playoffs pretty much every year, where the Maple Leafs have been there just once out of 9 years, I believe it is. And Ken Holland said about the Red Wings being a bubble team, and you know what, just when you thought they were going to be, you know, becoming, you know, not a good team, they somehow mm-hmm. find a way to prove people wrong. Because last year, I thought the Leafs were going to be a much better team than they were after what happened in the playoffs. Because I thought they were going with a huge chip on their shoulder, and I felt they had to prove to somebody that 2013 was not a fluke. And we know what happened then. And I thought the Red Wings pushed Boston to the limit last year in the playoffs because everyone thought Boston was going to have their way with Detroit, but they had other ideas. And then you know what happened to Boston in the following series against Montreal. So as far as that goes, I have to give the edge to Detroit because, you know, they seem to prove everybody wrong year after year, seems like.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, yeah, you look at the Red Wings, Gustav Nyquist, Luke Glendening. Where's the Leafs' Luke Glendening? Darren Helm. Where's the Leafs' Darren Helm? The Red Wings do a hell of a job of identifying players. And you're right. They have that playoff experience in their DNA. The Leafs, you know, it's funny. It seems to everybody, it seems as if the Red Wings have won the last 9 Stanley Cups in a row, when in point of fact, they haven't. But we're just so used to them being in the postseason and being part of the postseason furniture that we just kind of assume that that's the case. They're kind of like Old Man River. They just keep making the playoffs. They just keep making the playoffs. And even if they don't do well in the playoffs, the fact is it is part of their DNA. It's part of Johan Franzen's DNA as a hockey player. It's part of Henrik Zetterberg's DNA, Nicholas Cronwell's DNA, Jimmy Howard's DNA. It's part of their DNA. Sean and Coburg, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, I know you're... How you doing, man?
Good, man.
I know you're tight on time, but let me just run this by you real quick.
All right.
The Canadiens, Tampa, Boston, Pittsburgh, and I got, humor me on Washington, I think they're squeaking in this year.
So you know what, I'll tell you what, I picked them to finish second in that division, so I'm not arguing with you in that.
Okay, so if we take off the rose-colored glasses, okay, right,
mm-hmm.
Here's 5 more teams for you. Blue Jackets, Detroit, who made the playoffs last year, the Strangers, who made the playoffs last year, and the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss the Devils?
The improving Islanders.
And the improving Islanders. Guess what? Where do you find the Leafs? In those 3 spots, Jeff.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree. That's why I didn't pick the Leafs to go to the playoffs. I kind of expect Columbus to come back down to earth a bit. But yeah, it's hard to look at, again, it's hard to look at what we saw this weekend and not come away with the idea that, wow, maybe the Leafs aren't that close to Detroit. Because, as I said, Detroit's best players, they kicked the living, you know what, out of the Leafs' best players. But more to the point, the Leafs' best players just didn't show up, with the exception of JVR in Game 2. The World Series will start tomorrow. We'll have the game on. Games. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We'll have it on Sportsnet as well. The Kansas City Royals and the San Francisco Giants, the World Series, nobody predicted, although given the fact that this is the Giants' 3rd appearance in 5 years, we probably should be less surprised that they're in than Kansas City. Shai Davidi is our MLB insider on Sportsnet. We'll talk to Shai about the World Series. We'll talk about the Jays coaching staff as well. Bob Stanley, the bullpen coach, has been told he's not returning, and all the other coaches expected back. Although, interesting, we haven't heard anything sort of official about that. Shai Davidi joins us when the Jeff Blair Show continues right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.